All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at Afani.com/crypto101. That's Afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number. So make sure it's protected with Afani.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Crypto Rundown, where we talk about everything that's going on in the great world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. From the fundamentals in the news to the technicals on the charts, we spend the time doing hours of research so that you all don't have to. And welcome to our first bi-weekly episode. Now, this is a little bit of a shift. And as we said on Monday, we're going to be doing these 2 times a week now. We saw what all of you as the audience had been saying. And also we realized that a lot of the information that we were talking about was very time sensitive. So we said, how can we pump out more content and make it more time sensitive? And that was by doing 2 episodes a week, starting at Monday and on Thursday. So make sure you stick around. We got a lot of content to come. We have all sorts of new tutorials, podcasts, market updates, all coming your way as well. And of course, we bring it all to you completely for free. So TiVo, it's going to be another action-packed episode. The list is ever-growing of things that we have to talk about. But believe it or not, I think the list that we have here today for our Thursday episode is probably more important and more impactful than a lot of the stuff that we talked about on Monday.
Yeah, man, it's going to be fun. And I'm glad that the listeners want it. We had a couple comments. There's a Spotify comment from, I don't want to butcher this word, but Kaya, I believe is how you might try to pronounce it. I'm sorry if I butchered it, but she said she's loving the podcast, appreciating all the hard work, doing more episodes, keeping us updated. So that's always fun. I know I saw we got Fitz in the chat already. He was waiting for us. So the momentum's building, and there's a lot to talk about. I put out an episode with Brian and Joe yesterday. They're going to be coming back a lot more, possibly weekly as well on Wednesdays. And that episode, we had some things that I pushed to save for us to talk about today, but we still went. I went for 45 minutes with them yesterday and covered all this fun stuff on the meme coin market and the Bonk ecosystem and the wrecked drink, the flywheel economy that they're building. And wrecked, we got off the pod, we were laughing, wrecked hit an all-time high. Obviously the Kengu market's going crazy, and we gave a pump fun update. So if you haven't listened to that, check out the Meme Coin Mania episode before this one, and dive into that, because it was 45 minutes of unique, you know, in the trenches type content. And then literally 50 hours later, me and you are back again with another full sheet of stuff to talk about. It's just exciting times. And shout out to you. I know you're dealing with some stuff and some pain, but you know, Brendan's here. He's not going to let a little pain stop him from being here with us. And I myself was, had a doctor appointment this morning, but we juggled it around and we're here and we're pushing forward.
Yeah. You know, we're here to serve the community, and we always like to kick things off by just giving a high level overview of everything that we're going to talk about and everything that's going on. So at a high level of what we're going to be talking about today, well, number one, we saw a little bit of a pullback here in the crypto market. I know altcoins were down around 10% across the board yesterday, July 23rd, 2025. And today we're seeing actually quite a big rebound back to the upside. So not only do we have a lot of these cryptos rebounding off of like their first real retracement since that big move to the upside, We also have a lot of big things on the fundamental side. I mean, for starters, JP Morgan is now considering offering loans that are backed by crypto, such as Bitcoin and Ethereum. PNC Bank is set to bring Bitcoin to their 12 million customers. WisdomTree is set to launch their WUSD stablecoin, primarily on the Ethereum network. The FBI has dropped their investigation into Kraken's founder, Powell. Not to be mixed with J Powell, different Powell. But on top of that, what we have is that the SEC has also just approved the conversion of the Bitwise 10 crypto index. This is an index that includes Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, Solana, Cardano, Sui, AVAX, Litecoin, Polkadot. And it is like really like one of the first of its kinds. Grayscale had something like this happen. We're going to talk more about that because it looks like it's going to be the start of a lot of ETF approvals for the altcoin market. Following in that same theme, 21 Shares files for an Ondo ETF. Canary Capital files for an Injective ETF. Coinbase adds perpetual futures contracts up to 10x leverage to their platform, which has been strictly banned for like the bulk for the entirety of Coinbase's history. You'd always have to go to like an offshore exchange to get that kind of stuff. There was a report that there's no ETH available for sale on the Wintermute OTC. I'm now seeing readings though that this is not the case. It's just like someone got too much caffeine in their system and got a little too excited. We're going to do some more diving into there because there's some clarification. Solana has a big upgrade coming its way. It's going to improve scalability. And overall, the U.S. government is coming out with a big crypto update talking about their holdings. And there's a big update on that from what we last talked about. So it's an action-packed list, TiVo. We can start things off right from the top with what's happening on the with what's happening just on the charts first. I think that's probably the best way to do it. So if we just go ahead and we throw up the charts here and we look at what's happening with like Bitcoin, for example, then what we can see is, you know, we're right back at around 119, 120,000. And if you're watching on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or anywhere else, and you want to see the screens and the data and the charts and the articles, you got to go over to our YouTube channel. It's the Crypto 101 Podcast on YouTube. Check us out over there. Again, it's all completely for free. But if we look at this and we see what's happening here with Bitcoin, this is that retracement that I was talking about where we, where we were going up to $123,000, then we were coming back down here kind of bleeding over the last week or so to around 116K, which is where we found support. And now we're bouncing off of this 20-day moving average or this blue line here, and we're seeing the buyers come back in. So what I think we're really starting to see here is a little bit of higher lows, lower highs. And when we get something like this, this is what we call a pennant. So when we get a pennant after a move to the upside, we classify this as a bull flag. And at least for me, when I'm seeing a bull pull, bull flag combination like this, it typically indicates that prices are consolidating before continuing to the upside. And a measured move from here would probably bring us up to the upper 120s, and we probably see a push for the low 130s. So I'm looking at this saying, hey, Bitcoin looks pretty bullish. It looks pretty optimistic so far. Now, if something changes and we get some article out of left field, I think that we can look at Bitcoin and say, well, it does have a little bit of room to the downside, probably around its previous all-time highs in here near that 50-day moving average. I think that makes a little bit more sense around $111,000, roughly speaking. So for now, the bulls are still very much in control of the market. The bulls look strong. There's a lot of positive technical and fundamental news going around over there.
Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just two clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus. If you have been considering futures trading, now might be the time to take a closer look. The futures market has seen increased activity recently, and Plus 500 Futures offers a straightforward entry point. The platform provides access to major instruments, including the S&P 500, NASDAQ, Bitcoin, natural gas, and other key markets across equity indices like energy, metals, forex, and crypto. Their interface is designed for accessibility. You can monitor and execute trades from your phone with a $100 minimum deposit. Once your account is open, potential trades can be executed in two clicks. For those who prefer to practice first, Plus 500 offers an unlimited demo account with full charting and analytical tools. No risk involved while you familiarize yourself with the platform. The company has been operating in the trading space for over 20 years. Download the Plus 500 app today. Trading in futures involves a risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? And credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With Gemini Credit Card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight into your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, or you're a faithful listener of the Crypto 101 podcast and love Bitcoin and other cryptos, visit the Gemini credit card website so it's easy for you to earn even more Bitcoin or crypto with their credit card. Again, visit Gemini.com/card today to learn more.
Ethereum, looking strong as well. It's been consolidating for a shorter amount of time than Bitcoin, but getting bought up pretty aggressively. Today, it's back up to around 3,700. It even made a push for almost 3,800 again. And so the buyers are very comfortable accumulating this at around 3,500 bucks. That's what we've seen so far. We talked about this, Tiva. I know me and you did. I can't remember if we brought it up in the Monday call or not. But one of the big things that stood out to me here was that Ethereum has a massive resistance area in between 3,800 to 4K. We've seen it come up here and then retrace 30%, and then come up here and retrace 45%, and then come up here and retrace, I think this was 65%. And so it's these big, hefty moves every time it comes up to this area, and that's exactly where we are floating at right now. We're seeing a little bit of resistance. So I'm watching this very carefully. I think that the most bullish case scenario for Ethereum is if it just destroys this level. If it just tears through what is arguably its biggest resistance level on the chart, if it breaks this with like no hesitation, then you have to be so bulled up on where Ethereum is at, because that'd be just like a super disrespectful thing to just slap all the bears in the face. And I think from there, it would go to new all-time highs. So huge key level to watch out for on here. But yeah, I know we've both been following ETH, Tiva. I mean, any thoughts from you on this?
Yeah, is it just one giant bull flag there over, yeah, whatever, a year, basically a year and a half?
It's just a breakout. That would be interesting. Yeah, I think, the only thoughts around it is, I think we were riding, you know, all those other peaks. You go back in the history of when it was back when we broke all-time highs, March 24, and then obviously again there in June, and then again around the election when things were hot. But that was just general crypto excitement, especially the first there in the middle with the, you know, the new all-time highs in March of 24, plus then the election cycle. It was like, okay, crypto is going to the moon with the new administration. Something, everybody likes to say this time's different, right? That's always a fun phrase to throw out there, especially I think it kind of gets made fun of a lot. But you haven't had this narrative. Like, you haven't had Wall Street bulls. It's kind of reminiscent to when Bitcoin ETF got launched. It just felt like it felt different. And that move kind of seemed to be true to where we are today. And again, it would be great if it was just a straight line over the course of the next 2 to 3 weeks. But we kind of just had that, right, over the last 6 to 8 weeks. So even if you take a pause, I guess what we like to say, zoom out, and I don't know, not personal financial advice by any means, but
something feels different about this Ethereum narrative. We have some stats coming up that we will we'll break down, or maybe we can just transition them into them actually right now. Is kind of these Ethereum stats here. I'll take over, Brendan. So keep it moving. Is Ethereum ETFs are starting to set their own records, not really passing Bitcoin per se, but it's a crypto takeover. So the Ethereum ETF becomes the third fastest ETF to hit 10 billion in assets. The three fastest ETFs to hit 10 billion now are all spot crypto ETFs. So it's kind of making its move here. And just to show you, I had one more from a friend of the program, Matt Hogan here. And just to show you how fast this is, July 24th to June 25th, July 2024 to June 2025, basically 1 year, $4.2 billion of inflows. And then July 2025 alone, $4.4 billion. So in July 2025, we're not even done the month, Brendan. We still got a week left. We've outpaced the entire Ethereum ETF flows for the entire last year. So kind of back to my overarching point, it's not really a fundamental case for Ethereum. It's definitely not a technical analysis case at all. I leave that to you. But there's something feels different with the narrative. You know, you got Tom Lee all bulled up. Like, Tom Lee's a very well-respected, you know, voice on Wall Street, who now is a chairman of an Ethereum treasury company. You definitely had all these little Ethereum, not little, but, you know, the Ethereum treasury companies started popping off. I know we rode one last week. Me and Brian did, like, the LQR is like some liquor company that, you know, everybody just started saying they were a treasury company in crypto and their stock started going up. So you got to be careful with those for sure. But the narrative around Ethereum and kind of, as Tom Lee said, the stablecoins had their ChatGPT moment. And these stable coins are being built on Ethereum and Solana as well. But a lot of big companies are choosing to build on Ethereum. Obviously, Robinhood kind of kicked it off with their tokenization platform built on top of Arbitrum, which is built on top of Ethereum. So that's my fundamental case for Ethereum. Is just, it feels like the narrative has changed. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the narrative is certainly changing, because you look back to the end of last year and the start of this year, and we are saying the opposite. We are saying everyone's using Solana, and they were. People weren't using Ethereum as much. Solana had overtaken Ethereum in terms of activity and active addresses and wallets and like a lot of the key metrics that we would measure success from. Now, that started to fall apart as there was more rug pulls and pump.fund started to fade and all of, and the market started to pull back with the tariff news, and people were less concerned with doing meme coins and stuff like that. And then we started to see the activity on Solana fade. And as we have a crash like that, people typically start to go back to the fundamentals, right? They don't go to the extremely risky meme coin, rug pulley kind of things, which like are a great time, right? They're a great time and some of them turn out really well. But for every one that succeeds, like 1,000+ don't. And so at times of a crisis where the whole US economy is seeing like a 20-30%+ pullback and everyone's scared that it's going to be some Great Depression like event, which is what people were concerned about in the moment. At times like that, you really do go back to the fundamentals, and people came back to Ethereum at that moment and they started building, especially as more and more legislation was being passed. And so I have a cool screenshot here that just goes and shows everyone that is building on Ethereum, or everyone pretty much of significance here recently that is building on Ethereum. So let me throw this up on the screen real fast and we can take a look at it. But you can see that there's Robinhood, JP Morgan, Stripe, PayPal, BlackRock, Sony, Visa, Fidelity, Starbucks, Nike, Adidas, MasterCard, Reddit, Ernst & Young, Shopify, and the list goes on. And we have a whole lot more that we can talk about. And on top of this, what we're also seeing is that a lot of these banks are starting to get in on the crypto market, and they're starting to go and just like file for stable coins. And that's where the really big push is right now, is that all these banks want to come in and they want to start stable coins. So I can't show this on the screen because I'm going to be talking about it on a speech here in a couple of hours. So I can't reveal it quite yet, but I do want to reveal just a metric that I pulled from it. And it shows just how many banks are already filing and looking into stable coins. So you have Uber, you have Amazon, you have Deutsche Bank, Bank of America, Citigroup, Fidelity, JP Morgan. And these are all companies that have said, companies or financial institutions that have said, we are looking into stable coins, if not already applied for them. And we had a really cool article in here from WisdomTree, who I don't even think we mentioned, but they're also doing the same thing. So, you know, yeah, I mean, just across the board here, mass adoption. And if we go back, yeah, TiVo has it on the screen right now. WisdomTree set to launch their WUSD stablecoin. The attention really is on Ethereum. And things shift, and the market's dynamic, and it's fluid, and it changes. And we're seeing this really big shift back to Ethereum. And now there's all these different treasury companies and everything else. And this does feel like the ChatGPT moment where everyone's coming out with stuff, or a lot of them haven't even launched yet. They're just saying, we're going to come out with this. We're going to do this. And this is the ChatGPT moment where it launches. And then afterwards, this surges demand for processors and graphic units and all of NVIDIA's products. So at the time, like, NVIDIA really didn't react much to ChatGPT coming out. But, you know, in the years following that, there is massive just flows, a massive demand for NVIDIA because of the effects that ChatGPT and AI had. And what I think Tom Lee and a lot of other people are saying here is that all these companies using Ethereum, all these companies creating stablecoins, all these companies tokenizing, that is going to create the ChatGPT-like moment that had an effect on NVIDIA, but it's going to be the stablecoin and tokenization moment that impacts Ethereum likely in the months and years to come.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think it showcases what I just pulled up on the screen. Secondary is, like, I don't really necessarily this tweet. You don't necessarily have the metrics for the OTC sales on Wintermute. So I'm not going to talk about that as much as these treasury companies, SBET raising $5 billion to buy ETH, BitMine raising $2 billion to buy ETH, Ether Machine raising $1.6 billion to buy ETH. And some of these companies are going directly to the Ethereum Foundation and buying Ethereum straight from them. And you know, this is all during the course of these last couple of weeks where you've seen this massive rise in price. So they're buying directly, you know, either at these OTC desks or going to the Ethereum Foundation to make these purchases. Meanwhile, you know, retail's getting in, the narrative's there. These ETFs are setting records. It's just, it's purely supply and demand driving this price up. You know, it's the same thing as Bitcoin. Obviously, the supply for Ethereum is different than Bitcoin, so you'd have to go and, you know, take that into account as well. But the narrative's here, and I, again, if you zoom out, I don't think this is something, you know, when these guys, Tom Lee and these people come in, these are seasoned investors that have been around for decades, right? So you don't come in with a new thesis like this. Number one, they didn't just decide to do this 2 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago when Ethereum rose 20%, 25% off the bottom, right? This is stuff that they've been researching for years and planning probably for years to get the right disclosures and paperwork done. So this isn't something, this narrative, as much as it is new, I think because it's embedded in this kind of traditional TradFi ecosystem, I don't think it's going away anytime soon. So I think we could be here at the end of the year seeing Ethereum at higher prices, which a lot of people are saying and giving higher price targets at that, you know, all-time high level, or even up to, you know, we've played the clips of Tom saying 10K ETH is possible. So the excitement's there, the narrative's there, and I don't think it's something that disappears overnight.
Yeah, I agree, man. I don't think it's going away overnight. In Monday's episode, you know, we talked about a little bit, just like the markets are going to go up and down. It's a natural part. Eventually, we are going to reach resistances and we're going to pull back, but I don't think that that's the end of the road. And that's like the big point that I want to make here, is that there's so much infrastructure and stuff getting set up, and that I'm probably going to be the most eager to buy the dip when things are selling off aggressively. Because as we do pull back, like, clearly the infrastructure is getting laid. I mean, that metric that you share, TiVo, of saying that there's been more inflows into the Ethereum ETFs in the last month than the last year combined is a ridiculous sign that, like, man, these things are just heating up from where they were. And there's also, imagine if we keep that same relative level of inflows for a year, right? Imagine we do everything that we did in a year, we do that in a month. Now imagine we have 11 more of those months. Like, what would that look like for Ethereum? And then if you think about it that way, like, again, maybe we don't have it like that. There's going to be some red months here and there. But even if like a quarter or like two quarters of the next months are like that, you probably imagine new all-time highs for Ethereum and for a lot of the other altcoin market as well. Because that's what we've seen is just Bitcoin dominance in a free fall. And this will be my last point on the charts, and then we'll move on from here. But Bitcoin dominance has been in an absolute free fall from 66% down to around 60%. So now it's back up to around 62%. But when Bitcoin dominance falls like this and Ethereum is gaining strength like we've seen on the ETH BTC chart, this is the perfect moment for altcoins. And historically, we see Bitcoin dominance come up to around 70%, right? We see this every single altcoin cycle. Every 4 years, this happens, and then it crashes, and then it rises, and then it crashes, and then it rises, and then it crashes. We are right here. Historically, we crash around or below 40%. So that would say that like the bulk of the move isn't even happened yet or hasn't even happened yet. So I'm looking at this. I'm excited about Bitcoin. I'm also really, really excited about altcoins because I think that they have been undervalued relative to where Bitcoin has been at, and they could be getting ready for their real revenge arc. So I don't want to spend too much time on the charts, but yeah, I mean, listen, huge potential everywhere. You look at XRP hitting new all-time highs. You look at like the run that Euler had and the run that Syrup had and the run that like Pengu has had, which I have somewhere here on the chart. Here it is. I mean, the run that Pengu has had is just, how do you describe this? I mean, it's 1,000% move since April. It's unworldly. And then you can look at like Bonk and Hyperliquid and Spark and like, I mean, there's everything's running here, you know, SPX 6900, like things are on fire. And yeah, I mean, what a time to be alive. So anyway, I'm cooling it off. You're getting a little bit overhyped, but I'll pass it back to you though.
Oh, please, please don't. I mean, those are all stuff that, you know, again, you can't hit every single one, but there's a lot of those that you just mentioned that we either interviewed or brought out on for interviews on the show, or me and you have talked about them, or Brian and Joe have come on and talked about them. Like, I basically, this podcast is, you know, mentions Pengu every week at this point, or close to every episode. And, you know, that's because we're excited about it and it's good to get those calls. And if you stuck with us, you know, that's the type of alpha that we're dishing out here. But yeah, it's not just Ethereum. You mentioned this at the top of the show, and we have to circle back on it about, you know, JP Morgan considering offering loans backed by crypto with, you know, Bitcoin or possibly Ethereum potentially starting next year. I mean, we've joked about this. About how, you know, do as they, you know, watch what they do, not what they say type of mentality, especially with the big banks. And dude, just, it's so funny. And I get it. I totally understand. You know, JP Morgan's such a big bank and they have so many different divisions, so there's different people working on different things. But just to absolute parade around for the last 5 years or decade, you know, Jamie Dimon just anti Bitcoin. Never even, the thing is like Larry Fink has evolved and obviously now has the Bitcoin ETF. So it's a product that he's going to promote. To not even just change your stance a little bit on Bitcoin, Jamie Dimon, and then start offering, you know, Bitcoin backed loans would be or is very funny if this is something that's true. And yeah, no, go ahead, dive in.
He realizes he's missing out on so much money. Again, going back to some of the metrics that we talked about doing in all of last year's volume or inflows in a single month, like he realizes now that their bank is losing out on so much money and such an opportunity. And I think it's eating him alive because historically he's been on top of all this stuff. He's super smart. He typically makes the right business decisions. JP Morgan Chase is like wildly successful. And usually he is at the forefront of any new ideas and staying on top of things. And I think that it's eating him alive that he missed out on an opportunity like this and that he was so wrong about it. So not only was it like probably a little bit of a hit to his ego, but I think on top of this, he realized how much money the bank has probably lost by not getting in as early as a lot of these other players are. And so I think that's what this is now, is them being like, we got to make up for lost time. Like, let's shift gears here, regardless of what he thinks. And that's why we're starting to see this.
Yeah. And then they're not the only ones.
Yeah.
Let's see. Share the Sab and Schwab. Yeah. And the people building stable coins. And then we got PNC Bank. Again, PNC Bank is a bigger bank, obviously, but it's not the JP Morgan's Goldman Sachs. It's more of a regional vibe, like a local bank that you're going to go get your, you know, your local town has that you can go in and get a, you know, personal bank or a mortgage or have your, you know, personal checking account. And, you know, they're bringing Bitcoin and crypto to its 12 million customers. The waterfall has started here. And yeah, again, it's one of those things. This is a narrative that once this stuff starts moving, in my opinion, it's not something that's not like a light switch. You don't flip it off. Once this gets flipped on, it's staying. It has staying power.
It does, man. And here's the deal. You know, this says 12 million new customers can come to Bitcoin from PNC. Like, we are seeing them come in not by the thousands, not by the hundreds of thousands, not by the millions, but by the tens of millions, hundreds of millions. Like, that's the rate of adoption that we're at here. So, you know, you look at TradFi, you look at anywhere, everything, and there is just mass adoption coming in. And so, again, listen, we're biased. We know it, right? We like the crypto markets. Our channel is literally called Crypto 101. But you can look at this unbiasedly and say, well, you know, clearly something is happening here. Clearly there is adoption. Like, there's only two sectors, in my opinion, that are seeing this level of extravagant adoption and attention. And it's like AI and crypto. And there's a reason that the czar in the United States is under both AI and crypto, right? He has a dual title. And that's because this is where the future is at. Trump even had this. He had a video that went out and he even said, like, this might be the most revolutionary thing that we've had since like the .com or the internet or something like that. Have you seen that clip circulating around, TiVo?
No, I haven't. What was it though? Yeah. Find.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. See if you can look it up real fast.
But, David Sachs?
No, it was Trump. It was Trump saying like, this could very well be like one of the most revolutionary pieces of technology and ideas and industries since the internet. And he just talks about how it's set to like revolutionize the financial industry. And this is coming from like the president of the US. And so it's not just like us on YouTube talking about this. It's a big deal. And so when you have the world's largest asset manager saying that, when you have the president of the United States saying that, when you have all these big banks getting in on it, like, listen, we don't believe in creating the waves. Like, at this point, just ride the waves that are already being created by the government, by the largest asset managers on the planet, by the big banks, by like these different companies, and just ride in their wakes. And the answer is easy. And it's just like, don't be overly negative on the crypto market. In fact, be the opposite. Be bullish. And I think that's also why we're starting to see a lot of these financial advisors start recommending more and more and more crypto exposure, from none to 0.5% to 1% to 2%. Now we're seeing 3% to 5% exposure. And that number is probably just going to increase as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There's a lot of people bullish besides you, obviously me, ton of people in the chat, James Fitch. There's a guy named Cayman in there. He's acting super bullish. Absolutely.
I think I've heard of that guy.
Yeah. That guy Cayman. He's a wild one. But I think it's not just, there's so many narratives that are just bullish because it sounds bullish in the price action of it and adoption of it. But there's also the side of kind of the legislation side, right? And kind of just to kick it off, like the FBI drops investigation into Kraken exchange founder. Now, I think that if we had a different administration, that might go the other way, right? Like the jaws, it felt like we were kind of in a battle over the last, you know, 5 years with just administration wise. It seems like a decade ago. It really does. It seems like a decade ago, Gary Gensler, you know, could parade around and kind of shake the crypto market out with just his words and legislation. And now, you know, we fired him day one. That was our favorite clip for about 6 months. We got him out of there. And then now, you know, the tides are turning, and that includes with lawsuits like that. But it's also bullish for new products, right?
So I know I saw that the SEC approved the conversion of the Bitwise 10. Now, I remember when Matt Hogan came on, like, the first time we had him on, and he was kind of educating us about the Bitwise platform of, like, what they offered. And he was like, yeah, we have, you know, some products, and, you know, you can go to our website and see what our products are. We have basically, like, a blue chip ETF with the top, you know, cryptos, and you can go on the website and see the percentages. Actually, they're right there. So, like, you can go on and see that stuff on there. And I remember being like, hey, can I invest in this? It's no, you got to be a credit investor. You got to go through the process. You got to register. And I was just like, oh man, that sucks. And then now with new legislation, and clearly, whether it's treasury companies and ETFs flowing, and we got more ETF stuff to talk about next, but like the Bitwise 10 is now going to be converted into an ETF, which I think is super exciting. So it's like, it's the narratives of what you think these banks are getting involved in building and excitement and adoption, but it's like there's a legislation side to this that's really unlocking all of it and giving, you know, new paved roads for the space.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see more of these. And what we've seen so far is Grayscale had one of these approved. Bitwise now has one of these approved. And they call these basket or index ETFs. And they encompass like a whole handful of different cryptocurrencies. You know, this one has, as it says, Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, Solana, Cardano, Sui, AVAX, Litecoin, and Polkadot. And it's market cap weighted in its structure, which is why it's so Bitcoin heavy. But I think what this does is it opens up the door for a lot of more altcoins to get ETFs and come through. And you could say, well, they already hold these coins in these basket and in these index ETFs. Like, they already allow trading on these through a basket. Like, can't we just trade the underlying assets that are inside of these baskets? Like, doesn't that make sense? You look at almost any kind of other index, any other kind of like basket, anything like that. And that's always the case, right? You get a semiconductor ETF, it has NVIDIA, it has AMD, it has, you know, all these other, you know, chip names. You can do the same with like these AI baskets. You can do the same with these crypto baskets, right? They're all trading tradable assets, right? Products that are already trading as equities. This is, I think, the only example that I know of where it's a basket where you can't trade the underlying assets inside the basket on the equity market except for Bitcoin and Ethereum. So I think it's a hard time for the SEC, and I don't think they're against it. I think it'll just take time. But I think that there's a really hard argument to be made as to why the underlying assets inside of these basket ETFs, or these index ETFs, why they wouldn't also get approved as well. So, yeah, I mean, I think it just gets one foot in the door for altcoins being closer to having some of these spot ETFs.
Yeah, I think we got, didn't we have another, let's see, an Ondo ETF, 21 shares, so pull that up.
Yeah, I mean, there's two more here, and they're coming through the woodwork. So it's funny because I saw Eric Balchunas and, oh man, his name's slipping in my mind. We talk about him all the time. The Bloomberg Intelligence guys.
Well, and we got him up. Let's speak, James Safe.
Yeah, thank you. James Safe and Eric Balchunas. You know, they were tweeting back and forth about this. Oh, you can even see the tweet there. Eric Volchina says, not going to lie, I had to Google it. Same with the injective one. And I was like, injective one? I didn't know there was an injective one. And they put that out a couple of days ago as well. So these things are coming out like faster than did, like, even we can keep track of. Like, even they're having a hard time keeping track of these because they're just getting rapid fired out. And so we're getting one after another, and they're like, what are all these things? And in the crypto space, like, we know what these are, but I mean, yeah, they're coming out of the woodworks. We're getting all sorts of new ETF applications. And
I actually,
it's an era of new ideas.
Yeah, no, it is a time to be alive, a time to be alive specifically and be in your crypto. And I think that's the coolest thing is for, you know, all the listeners and all the community members that, you know, I've been riding for years, you know, multiple bear markets. And, you know, obviously, you know, us being together for as long as we have and doing this, it's cool to, like, you know, you can't have the good times without the bad. So the ups and downs, and this has definitely been a wild ride overall, but the ups have been super fun. And I think I teased this yesterday, and we're having the Canary CEO on.
Monday, actually, Brendan. Not sure if you saw the podcast schedule, but we're going to be interviewing him on Monday. So a ton of great questions. Injective ETF. You know I'm biased. I need a little update on the Pengu ETF. And I think it'll just be a great conversation overall to learn what they're doing over at Canary Capital. But I think it might be a cool thing to kick around and toss around to be like, hey, what's your vision for all these ETFs? Like, if and when they get approved, is it too many? Are there too many options? Or is this a good thing? I don't think it'd ever be a bad thing, but it's almost like this is almost gonna be too many options for retail when they're not, you know, super educated on crypto and whatnot. So I didn't know if you had a thought on that, other than, you know, it definitely unlocks more liquidity, but like it's almost too many options for the average person.
Ever feel like your WordPress site is moving in slow motion? Switch to Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress and watch it fly. Host your site on Google Cloud's fastest servers with worldwide data centers so your pages load instantly. Need help? WordPress experts respond in under 2 minutes and will migrate to your site for free. Try it yourself. First month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Yeah, I think what this will do is this will make different, like we said this earlier, but it'll make these indexes a lot easier to get access to and to create. And I think that'll be the main benefit is just like, and I don't even know if deregulating is the right word, right? But it'll just be easier for the average person to get their hands on this stuff. It'll be easier for the average person to get their hands on baskets. And that's, I think, what the real benefit here is that, you know, if someone texts someone else and says, oh, I like this coin or whatever, you know, what happens is half the time they don't want to go set up a crypto exchange and learn how to do this and fund a new account and go through this whole process. But if they can immediately just get exposure through their brokerages that they're used to using, then that probably doubles the likelihood of them actually buying a coin like this. So that's like the real benefit. Again, is it going to like, you know, moon us and could triple the market cap overnight? Probably not, but it's just good for the overall like long-term health of the crypto market and easing accessibility over time.
Yeah. And but, kind of speaking of accessibility, just more and more things coming to, TradFi, ETFs, more and more things coming to crypto users as well. Coinbase announced that they're adding perpetual futures. And you know that some people on the show, some people, listeners, I'm sure, love some leverage. Coinbase giving you new ways to get some leverage. Now, we always want to say, be careful with leverage. It is a dangerous game, especially if you don't know what you're doing. Know the risks, know what you're getting into, be educated on how to do it. And if you are interested in educating how to do it, I know we have an amazing YouTube channel. Hopefully some of you are on there today listening right now, but we have a tutorial section. So you can go to those tutorial sections and learn how to use this stuff properly before you just blindly go and get your whole account liquidated. So Brendan, are you excited for perpetual futures? And I know you have an announcement for a new tutorial.
Yeah, am I excited? I've already done a video on it. Me and you, we were talking and we were jumping at the opportunity for this to happen because this is such a long time in the making. Back in the day, people would fight tooth and nail to try to get around the ropes, get their hands on some perpetual contracts. They'd go to BitMEX. They'd go to Deribit. They'd VPN in, which we don't condone. We never condone doing something against the law. But like that's something realistic that people would do. And for the first time in like history, you now have a major tier one exchange offering perpetuals contracts. So what this means is that you can get up to 10x leverage on limited assets. Now, if you're in the US, you can only do Bitcoin and Ethereum at the moment, but you can go in there and there's a little tab where you can go from all perpetual contracts to available and or tradable. And under the all, there's like tons of them listed, like every crypto you could think of. And so it makes me think that those are probably going to be on the way because they're already like built into the interface. Like you can see it. You just can't click on it as a US customer. But yeah, I mean, this is exciting and it's a little bit different, right? So we have different kinds of leverage. You have options contracts, you have futures contracts, and you have perpetuals contracts. In this video, it's going to be coming out probably Sunday, TiVo-ish, around there?
Yes. Yeah, definitely this weekend, 100%.
Yeah, so everyone will get to learn like what these are, how they work. It's a little bit different from the perpetual contracts that I've traded. Which I think they probably had to do it this way in order to be regulated correctly. But you'll see in the video. Like essentially, you can get up to 10x leverage on Bitcoin and Ethereum. On these perpetual contracts, you can lose more than you put in, and they're extremely volatile. So it's an important thing to note, but it's available. It's available. It's a big step.
Yeah, and obviously, stay educated, stay smart. But yeah, it's exciting to get more and more products, more and more options rolled out. And I think we just need to touch on, a hard transition here, but touch on Solana a little bit, because I think the whole episode, especially the whole month, has been, you know, Ethereum dominated. But even before the Ethereum came out, I don't want to say a year ago, but 6 to 8 months ago, it was Solana. Solana was the belle of the ball. Solana was the one you wanted to dance with on the meme coin floor. All the Solana meme coins were taking off. Solana was rocketing upwards, you know, in that January time frame before it cooled off. And now everybody's, you know, ditching Solana, at least narrative wise, it seems like on the timeline, and everybody's all in on ETH. And I feel like it's just one of those classics. You know, you're on the sideline for a little bit, but you know, I definitely think Solana will have its day in the sun again. And there's stuff that's going on, and Solana keeps building, keeps growing, and there's a lot of cool stuff going on there. So I know you pulled this stat around Solana.
Yeah, you know, what this does is it just kind of gives a high-level overview of what's coming. It says Solana has expanded its block capacity by 20%. What this does is it raises its compute limit from 50 million to 60 million CUs, starting with the Epoch A22. What this does is it essentially allows more or higher complexity transactions per block. What this means for the end user, the end result, is that this potentially reduces fees and overall improves network performance. So you're looking at this and it's just, again, like we're scaling. Like even the blockchains that really don't have scalability issues, even they're scaling. And I think that that's the right direction here, is we want to see these layer one scale, because that's really where a lot of people are building infrastructure. We want to see, especially Solana scale, but we really want to see Ethereum scale. And conveniently enough, we had one of the core developers from Ethereum who led the staking upgrade, who led the recent upgrade that we just saw, you know, Den Kun and a lot of these others. And we talked to him, and that's like a thing at the forefront of his game plan for Ethereum is, you know, we're working on some other necessary parts right now, is what he said. But they are looking at increasing the L1 scalability as well, and that's something that's on the radar. So yeah, I mean, Solana scaling, it's a good thing to see. And when it comes to layer ones, like, again, maybe I'm biased. I like Solana and Ethereum. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. People always put Solana, Bitcoin, and Ethereum against each other. And you have maxis that are like only Solana, only Ethereum, only Bitcoin. If you like one, you have to hate the others. I think they're all great. They're all great for different things. You know, you look at Bitcoin and you're not seeing near the same level of like DeFi and tokenization. You look at Solana and you're not seeing, like, again, DeFi or tokenization like Ethereum is, but you see a lot more like DePIN and memes and like different kinds of infrastructure over there. So they're working on different things, and increasing scalability is just overall a good thing. So upgrades are coming, and If you're on Solana, you're probably going to be looking forward to that.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. And let's wrap it up. We got one more topic, classic rundown here, running over 40 minutes because we love nothing more than giving you apparently long episodes, even when we do them twice a week. But important, this one we're going to use. Sometimes we end with a funny one. This one I think is more important and actually some thoughts here. So last episode on Monday, we talked about there were some, you know, FUD or bumping around online of is the U.S. sold its Bitcoin kind of blindly, and we didn't have as much in the government U.S. wallets as we thought. Apparently, and we said we don't know if this is true. It's something that we were going to look into and monitor, and it seems that it was debunked here by Bitcoin Archive, who's saying that, you know, the U.S. government still holds its 198,000 Bitcoin worth $23.5 billion. And I think that, again, this is the same thing, though. It's like, okay, this is, you know, some research done by somebody who, you know, traditionally people might trust online. But I think the coolest part of this is all this FUD was going around. And in the meantime, the administration is actually preparing a crypto report. And I think the most exciting part of all this is that next week, so exciting for next week's rundown, the July 30th, the U.S. government is actually going to release its full crypto report. So I'm sure David Sacks will, my guess would be he would be the one kind of doing this, and maybe a press conference of some type. Who knows if Trump's going to be there. But I think it's super cool to now have the administration kind of piecing together this whole report, because there was all that momentum, you know, the first couple of weeks in January, signing these executive orders, creating strategic reserves and stockpiles, and we're not going to sell it. But, it, you know, it takes a lot of work to go through this stuff and verify it and all that. And all these people online, including ourselves, can speculate and talk about what's happening here and this tweet there. But I think this is actually, I'm really excited for this. I don't think it's going to be any necessarily breaking market moving news unless there's something out of left field that we didn't see, like the government bought more Bitcoin. I wonder what the odds of that. I wonder if I can get some action on that on like Kalshi or Polymarket. Like, is Lutnick going to be there and say like, oh, we've actually purchased, you know, 10,000 new Bitcoin or something with some profits from tariffs or something? That would be fascinating. But I really just think if at baseline it's not market moving, it'll be interesting to get some of this data. What do you think, Brennan?
Yeah, no, I think it will be. And what we saw is like Trump Media is now like a top five Bitcoin treasury company too. I think we had a picture of that. And they're accumulating, and already inside our community, it's funny because I had a question about like this very topic today that I have pulled up on another tab right now to respond to after we finish this. But it's like, you know, what is happening here? How, like, what parallel universe did we teleport into from a year ago? And it's just crazy how far we've come. And I think that inside of this report, you know, we are likely going to see, like we said a little bit earlier, like there's a lot more there's a lot more Bitcoin on the US balance sheet or on inside the US's ownership than we thought there was, because there was reports of like we had 400,000, now we only have 200,000. Well, we might only have 29,000 now. It's looking like that's not the case, and it was just put in different locations. And Arkham did some digging, and it's looking like we do still have around 200,000 Bitcoin under U.S. ownership. But regardless, yeah, I mean, you got to look forward and be excited for what this report's going to be. I think the real clarification here is going to be that we didn't know how much we had, like exactly, like even, you know, even the high ups, like said, we really don't know how much exactly we have inside the US. We have like a rough estimate of this, but what I think we're going to find out now is exactly how much we have in terms of not only Bitcoin, but altcoins. And I think that's where the real clarity is going to be here. Is David Sacks, like we said, like we roughly know we have around 200,000 Bitcoin. Altcoins, I think we are just flying blind for the most part. So I think we're going to probably get clear, exact numbers of what we actually own in terms of reserves. And then we know that the US isn't going to sell that off. And then on top of that, who knows, maybe there will be some sort of action plan of accumulation at no cost to the taxpayer. And I think that is the ultimate goal of what people want to see. I think the one thing that we will not see, and I see this every time the US comes out and says that they have a crypto announcement, every single time I see people begging or talking about this idea that they're going to eliminate capital gains tax on crypto. I don't see it happening. It makes no sense to me. They're going to say, oh, well, it would incentivize growth and this and that. Yeah, well, duh. But there's no benefit to the government in like doing this. I know it stimulates growth and stuff. Listen, it's a booming industry. They want to be the capital of that industry. They're going to collect taxes on that industry, right? This is kind of the trade-off that we get. That they promote growth, they promote companies, they promote profits, but they're going to get a piece of that expanding pie. And that's what they want. Like, that is their incentive, is that they grow this industry to be something massive, but they get a piece of the pie as it continues to grow. So I don't think it makes any sense as to why they would expand it and not get a piece of the pie. And I have to say this, it's a little bit of a rant, but I see it every time. Like, people are always saying, oh, they're going to get rid of capital gains tax. Listen, I hope I'm wrong. I really, really do. No one trades like more crypto than no one trades it more frequently than us over here. We love our crypto. So I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see it being a likely scenario that all crypto capital gains tax just gets like wiped off.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to that, Brendan, other than the tweet and the text that I put there. Are you paying attention? Like, it's a very simple formula. I know we've said this a lot, and it gets very hard to do when the administration is so involved in the space. Not to get political, this isn't a Democrat or Republican thing, but who's in power is who's in power. And that person has a family, and that family has some businesses, and those businesses are on the chart that you're looking at right there. And it's just like, are you paying attention? And I'll say this to wrap up. I know that our people are paying attention. The chat is going absolutely wild right now. We've got Rob, we've got CJE, and guys, I think we got James and just Ryan with Brendan, believe this or not, a $5 tip. I think that might be a Crypto 101 live program first. A $5 tip from Ryan. Ryan, we appreciate that so much. Not something that we asked for at all. But yeah.
It might be our first super chat.
That's what I'm saying. It's our first ever super chat for the Crypto 101 live. History was made today. And if you're still with us right now, you've seen it. Ryan, thank you very much, man. You're here basically every day when you can be. I know that. Very active. Tyler Fitz, very active. We really have built like a small YouTube community. Obviously, we have a huge community at Crypt Nation. But I mean, dude, this is super fun. And we appreciate you guys joining us and being active. And that's why we're doing more, because you guys asked for them and we're growing the community. And wow, super chat. I mean, that's what I got to end on, Brendan. What a super chat.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, Ryan, usually when people super chat, they usually like attach a question to it. And it's like, you know, people super chat with a question and it bumps the question to the very, very top in big, bold letters. There was no question. So my question was going to be, Ryan, do you have a question? Like, did you want us to talk about something or look at something? Because usually that's what is associated with super chats, but it was just blank. So if it's just to say, hey, I appreciate the team, that's super cool. But if you do have a question, we appreciate it. I just see everyone else in the chat just saying like some kind words and that they appreciate the content and they support us and call us legit. And so, yeah, I mean, listen, we appreciate everyone in the live chat. And if you're watching this back at a future point in time, maybe you're on one of the other platforms. Like originally, like we weren't really started on YouTube. Like we started on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all these other sources. And TiVo was really the one who got us going heavy on YouTube. So like in the big picture, like the YouTube scene is still like newer over here, but we want everyone to be able to come and join these live and partake and check us out on YouTube if you haven't already. But yeah, I see Ryan came in with a question. Ryan said, Bitcoin on Solana. There's only 21 million Bitcoin on Solana. Any thoughts? So what I'll say here is that typically if I'm going to own Bitcoin, the only way is that I don't really own wrapped Bitcoin or Bitcoin on another blockchain or anything like that. I typically only go and buy either Bitcoin itself, just like the actual underlying asset on the native Bitcoin blockchain, or I'll buy the Bitcoin ETF and I'll trade that, because that is a spot ETF that is always paired one-to-one to the price action of Bitcoin. And I can also trade options over there on those. So listen, I love Solana. I have multiple liquidity pools running on Solana. I am staking and I'm doing some decentralized staking on Solana in my own wallets. I own a bunch of Solana and coins built on it. So I'm a huge supporter of their ecosystem. However, when it comes to Bitcoin, I don't want to own Bitcoin on Solana. I'd rather just own Bitcoin outright. But that's kind of the way that I view it, right? You know, I think some people probably look at it and listen, there is like, if you're looking for like a really cheap way to do transactions extremely fast, like that is a benefit of Solana, that you get to have these cheap, fast transactions. But you could also have the same kind of experience on Coinbase or Kraken, where you can trade Bitcoin extremely fast for a fraction of the cost and a fraction of the time. And you can do that on centralized exchanges. So Ryan says a follow-up, but a new coin maybe for people who are learning and maybe feel that Bitcoin is too expensive for them and that they can still get in cheap. I think it needs to offer a bit more utility. If it's not paired to Bitcoin, I think it still needs to be something different than just having the title of like, well, this is the second Bitcoin, because we've already seen a lot of people try to do that. One of the what was it? There was a coin that tried to do this. I don't think it was SPX 6900. I think it was like, what was it? It was like the coin that like you missed it once, don't miss it again. I forget. Oh, it's going to kill me. It might have been like Supersonic Barack Obama something coin. There used to be a coin like that, and maybe that was it. But there was a coin that tried to do this, and it was just a little meme-y. But yeah, I don't know. I don't really have any other thoughts there. Just historically, I think when I look at it, you know, if people want something cheap, then they'll go to probably an alternative crypto. I also think that we're entering into a stage where something is either going to be classified as a meme or it's going to need real utility. And I think that those are going to be the coins that kind of succeed here. So if it doesn't have a real utility and the whole purpose of it is to just be a second version of Bitcoin, I'm not sure that that's going to be enough to gain traction. Because if the whole idea is that it's, you know, Bitcoin but cheaper. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we discussed it. Thank you, Ryan, for the super chat. And not crypto related at all, but since we're a live program, Brendan, and I know that you know, people appreciate breaking news. RIP to Hulk Hogan. I mean, what an absolute legend. I know it's not crypto.
No.
So if you want to tune off now, that's fine, because the crypto stuff's over, but it broke on the air. You actually caught me in the middle. I got like a text and some notifications. I was like, oh my God, like Hulk Hogan died. He lives here in Tampa. There's a Hogan's bar about 15 minutes in Clearwater Beach that I've been to so many times. Legendary Monday karaoke night. He used to just chill there. Not exactly every Monday, but he'll be there or would have been there a lot. Very involved with the city of Tampa, doing some events. I participated in the Real American Beer Chug Off this 4th of July and actually won. That was hosted by his son, Nick, and the Mouth of the South, who was his hype man over the years. Just so he's really ingrained into the city of Tampa, his hometown. Not sure what happened, dude. I've seen him around like at events and stuff not that long ago. And, you know, you never know what's going on with somebody's health, and, you know, stuff happens all the time, but very sad, very shocking. What a legend. And any thoughts or remembrance of Hulk Hogan, the Hulkamania?
Dude, that crushes my heart. I grew up with Hulk Hogan. I was a huge WWE fan. And that I saw that, you know, we put it in our Slack channel. Breaks my heart, man. Yeah, what an icon, man. That's such a bummer.
Oh, and CJE reminding us, Ozzy passed away yesterday or 2 days ago at this point.
Mm-hmm.
What another legend. Yeah. I don't know if you saw it, dude. Ozzy Osbourne had like a concert. We're solving the pop culture show here. Had a concert about a week and a half ago, and it was planned that he was going to do an assisted ending to his life over in Europe, because it's just Parkinson's and his pain was too much. But man, dude, he put on a great show. He hasn't performed in so long and just absolutely crushed it.
Hulkamania passing away. Just always good to just say a few words in tribute to some legends that, you know, help make your childhood or your music hood or whatever. It's shocking when this stuff just kind of hits the news wire, but you know, always appreciate just good memories of different people. So they're literal legends, and they'll live on probably forever. So cool stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, rest in peace to both of the legends over there in two different industries. But man, we appreciate everyone coming in here. It was an action-packed episode. I think we ran for literally almost an hour. We're pushing 60 minutes as we talk. But man, we appreciate everyone coming in here, tuning into these. Quick reminder that we do these every single Monday and Thursday now, so you get them twice a week from me and TiVo for the Crypto Rundown. We have lots of other tutorials and market updates and podcasts and everything else coming out. And so if you ever have any ideas or recommendations or video topics or anything, let us know. Like, we like to stay interactive. We like to read the chat. We like to read the comments. Let us know if there's anything that you want us to see or talk about, and we're happy to cover it. So thank you all for watching, and we'll see all of you at the same time, same place next week.
All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at afani.com/crypto101. That's afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number, so make sure it's protected with Afani.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, truckie.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other truckie.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.